The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Kevin, you were with us 5 years ago, and at that time, you were renting out a spare bedroom in your house on Airbnb, and you were doing great with it. You were making an extra $1,000 a month, but recently, you decided to move out of that house, and now you're renting out the entire house, right?
That's right, yeah. Although now it's a little different because before it was more of a kind of more of a hotel type thing, and now it's just a rental where, you know, I'm just kind of doing some maintenance every once in a while, and it's just people are living there.
That's a pretty big change. Kevin went from doing Airbnb where he had guests coming in for a couple of days at a time to now he's renting out his entire house to college students. So on the show today, we're going to talk about that process of turning his primary residence into a full-time rental property, and we'll see how things are working out. Kevin's managing it himself, so he's had a lot of stuff he's had to figure out. Let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back, and we'll catch up with Kevin Ha from Minneapolis.
A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market. But it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056.
Rental Income Podcast.
So, Kevin, why turn the house into a rental? Like, did you ever think about just selling it?
Yeah, we did. It would have simplified our life a lot more, probably, just to get this thing out of our way. You know, we're busy. We've got a kid. We've got jobs and stuff. Just because of kind of the location that it was in and kind of the cash flow it could make and the ability to kind of hang on to this thing that could, you know, increase in value, generate cash flow and have someone else essentially paying for it, it just kind of made sense to hang on to it. And, you know, the nature of like the type of work I'm doing now, I'm self-employed. And so I've got like much more flexible schedule I used to have. So it kind of, you know, I remember speaking to my brother about this. He's like, why wouldn't you hang on to it? Because what else are you going to do during the day? So that's kind of why we decided to hang on to it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to keep it. Like, do you see yourself, if this all works out, buying more properties and building a portfolio? Or do you think that this is you just want to have this one house that you rent out?
Yeah, you know, I definitely got, this is kind of like the gateway drug, I think, to, you know, the gateway to getting more rental properties. Because when you think about it, this was kind of like the easiest way for me to kind of get started with real estate. You know, I'm sure most people probably start out this way, or a lot of people do, where you just have a house, you already own the house. So turning into a rental is kind of lower risk than, you know, me saving up money for a down payment, buying a house, you know, kind of not knowing what's wrong with it. Kind of one of the advantages of this is I kind of knew already the things that I needed to worry about in the house and kind of what's broken, what isn't. And so but now I've kind of like got this bug because like, you know, I've got a taste of it and, you know, I've never like really gotten rental income before. So like yeah. Now I'm getting rental income. It's kind of like, oh, I want more.
It's incredible. It's really incredible. I mean, that's exactly how I started. My first rental was a house that we used to live in. Just like you, we bought a new house, decided to turn our old house into a rental. And once I got that first rent check, I was hooked. I wanted more. So yeah, I can see you definitely wanting to get more properties. Now, do you have a long-term plan? Like, is there anything that you're hoping to accomplish with this property?
Yeah, well, you know, the idea is that, you know, this rental property is sort of like a savings account for us. You know, we've got 15 years left on this mortgage that we have on it. And it's a really low interest rate mortgage too, because we refinanced it like right at the beginning of the pandemic when all the interest rates dropped a ton. And you know, my son right now is 2 years old. So, you know, there's now 13 or 14 years left on it. So by the time my son is like in high school, this properly paid off. And in theory, you know, that's like his college fund right there. You know, it could be sold and pay for his college. You know, if he ends up going to school locally here, he could live there, you know, and maybe rent out to his friends or roommates or something. But that's kind of the long-term plan, is just kind of hang on to it. And, you know, around the college time, we'll think about whether we need to sell it or not, or whether we want to sell it.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, if we hang on to it even longer, it could be, you know, retirement income or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you have so many options when you get to that point. I mean, you could keep the house and you could continue to rent it out and use the cash flow to pay for college. You could keep the house and you could do a cash out refinance where you're going to keep the house, but also get money out and then use that money to pay for college. I mean, there's so many options, and that's right. Really what's great about rental properties. Now, one other thing I wanted to point out to you, and I don't know, maybe you're already familiar with this, but there's a law, it's called Section 121, where when you live in a house and you sell it, as long as you've lived there for 2 out of the last 5 years, when you sell the property, your gains are tax-free up to certain limits. Were you aware of that? Not everybody
is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. And so that's kind of another reason I wanted to do this, is it kind of gives us kind of a testing period to see how it is. Cause you know, we lived there previously as a primary residence. And so I've basically got 3 years where I can like try it out, see how it is as a rental. And you know, if for some reason I just hate it, like, you know, let's say I just hate dealing with tenants or something, I can still sell it in the next 2 years now, or 3 years, and still get my gains, you know, without having to worry about taxes on it. You know, in the future, if we really are worried about that, we could in theory go live there again for 2 years.
Sure.
And then sell it. I don't know if we really realistically would do that, but it is like an option.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Cause yeah, a lot of times in it sounds like you've owned the property for a long time. So I'm sure you have a lot of equity in there. So so that might be something to run the numbers on and to see, you know, maybe this house works as a rental, or maybe you could take that money and buy something else with it and make even more money. But yeah, you've got some time to figure that out. So tell me about the property. What's the house like?
Yeah. So it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. Just like a regular, it's a 2-level house, craftsman house in a college neighborhood. So it's really near the University of Minnesota, which is really good for rentals, obviously, because there's basically just unlimited demand. You know, even back when we were doing Airbnb on it, I could rent out that room forever just because of the university demand. And the same thing goes with as a traditional rental. When I put that up, I got immediate requests to like look at the property, and it was rented out within 2 days of me putting it up. So
were you doing anything special to target college students, or is that just kind of the demographic of the neighborhood that like a family probably isn't going to want to live in that part of town?
Yeah, it's the demographics of the neighborhood. I didn't do anything special. It was just, I put it up on Zillow and Craigslist and those, the kind of the usual places you would put up.
Okay.
These places. And yeah, but a family wouldn't really look in that area just because I think the properties are a little bit more than you could probably get somewhere else. And in a college neighborhood, you're not going to want to live there.
Right. Sure. Sure. Now, did you rent out to like to a group of people or was it by the room?
Yep. I did it as a group, just a group of four college kids who all knew each other and applied together.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, you know, when my wife actually used to live in this house, she used to house hack. And so she would rent out each room individually to just other grad students. So there's definitely like, you could definitely make more money doing it that way. But I think that it's just a little bit more work and dealing with like the different personalities and separate leases and stuff.
Right.
There's kind of like an advantage of just having one lease and everyone's on it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's just a lot easier. Or the other thing I was thinking is you were renting the property out Airbnb before you rented the house out, you were renting out a room Airbnb. Would it be possible to rent out all four rooms in the property on Airbnb? Like, would you be able to make more money doing that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I could, because especially once kind of things settle down again and like events and in-person events and like all the interviews and stuff are coming back on, there's a huge, for Airbnb, there's like a huge shortage of like Airbnbs around the university. And this kind of makes sense because no one owns their houses around the university.
Right.
They're all rentals. And so like when you put up an Airbnb, you're usually, there's only like, when I had my Airbnb, I was one of like, you know, five maybe in the whole area. And so I definitely could make a lot more doing it room by room, probably twice as much more, but I just don't want to deal with having to go over there and clean all the time and do all that stuff.
Totally. And you know, it's like, I'm sure as you've seen it, it's really pretty passive when you own rental properties. I mean, like, have you really had to do much work since you put the tenants in there?
Yeah. So not really. You know, I've had like some maintenance things to do, like fixing some stuff. I just hire someone to do that. And then I just go over there and let them in.
Okay.
And the only other stuff I do is during the summer, I cut the grass myself, and it works out well because my son's daycare is just a few blocks from the house. And so I can just drop him off and then I'll just go cut the grass in the morning. Takes me 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the amount of time I'm spending is, you know, not more than a few hours at most.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a lot less work than if you had the constant turnover of Airbnb and you were in there cleaning up every day. So yeah, it's more money, but I guess you gotta weigh out your time too.
Yeah. And then there's like some startup costs too. Cause with Airbnb, I had to get like the furniture and stuff for every room. You know, back when I was doing just the Airbnb of the one room, there weren't really a lot of startup costs for me because it was just like a room in my house. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was
right.
My furniture I already had, but now if I was like to Airbnb it, I'd have to buy like a couch, TV, all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
And, you know, four beds. And I just don't want to do all that.
Yeah. How did you do the lease? I know when I was in college, the leases that I would sign at the places that I rented were, they were all joint leases so that if one person didn't pay, everybody was on the hook to make up that rent. Did you have anything similar to that in your lease?
Yep. I just did a joint lease. So everyone is liable for the entire amount. I also got co-signers for the parents to co-sign. And so they're not on the lease. They're like on a co-sign agreement thing that says they'll be responsible for the lease too.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it makes it so that I can get the rent. If someone doesn't pay, I can get the rent from someone, you
right.
know, one of, you know, eight people or something.
Sure. Were you nervous at all that, you know, with this being college students, that, you know, maybe this house would become the party house and you're going to have 400 people in the house on a Saturday night? Did that ever worry you at all that the house might get trashed?
It definitely did. You know, so I lived in this neighborhood for a long time And there's certain houses, kind of these like newer duplex style houses that seem to be the party houses. For whatever reason, my block never was like a party block, even with like all college kids around. So I don't know why that's the case. It might just be that, you know, I kind of was like looking, you know, while I was looking for like group of people, I was kind of like making them know. I kind of let them know that, like, you know, I live around here and that kind of thing. And like, right. I'm not like an absentee landlord. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is like my house I lived in. My son goes to daycare down the street. Like, I'm around a lot. And it kind of helps that my neighbors, my next door neighbors are like an old retired couple who we're friends with. And so they've been able to, they kind of like are able to keep an eye on the house for me too.
Well, let's take a look at some numbers here. So what do you have the property rented out for?
Yeah. So right now I have it rented out for $2,400 a month.
Okay.
Yep. And then they pay the electric and gas, and then I pay the water, sewer, and the trash.
Okay. All right. So $2,400 a month. So if you did Airbnb at some point, like, you think you could probably get over 4,000?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, back when I was doing just the guest room, I was getting 1,000 a month most months with just that one room. So I imagine with four of them, I could probably get 4,000 or more.
Okay. All right. Now let's take a look at your expenses. So how much is your mortgage payment?
Yep. The mortgage is $882 a month. That's just the principal, interest, and the tax, and the,
principal and interest.
Principal and interest, okay. Yeah.
And then for taxes and insurance, I guess that's not included, so you pay that separately?
Yep, I pay that separately. You know, the taxes actually just went up this year, but those two together, about $6,700 bucks now.
So for the year?
For the year,
okay. Yeah. All right, so if you break it down monthly, it sounds like about $1,200 a month.
Yeah, like all together, it's about, let me do the math right now. It's about $1,400 a month.
$1,400. Okay. So, so you've got a pretty good, profit there before, you know, any repairs or anything else that might come up. What are you doing with that cash flow every month?
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate enough, or I'm fortunate enough, to be in a position where I don't need the cash flow. So I just keep it in the bank account that I set up for the rental, and the plan is that it all just goes back into it as repairs and stuff come up.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's really, I think that's smart, because your two big expenses with the rental are going to be vacancy and repairs. With yours being a college rental, as long as you get everything right, you shouldn't have much vacancy. Like, do you agree that you can probably get one group moving out at the end of the school year or the end of the summer, whenever it is, and then get your next group in right away?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that there should ever be really any vacancy. Yeah. I can't imagine, unless we have another situation where I could imagine that maybe people had issues last year or 2 years ago
when
everything was remote. But yeah. As long as the college is still going, and you know, this college is not going anywhere, and it will.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, sure. Anything is possible, but you know, it's probably not very likely that you're going to have much vacancy. But so with, for repairs, I mean, like, things are going to break, things are going to need to be upgraded over time. So that's good that you've got that money set aside. So you're not spending any of the cash flow from the property.
Yeah, no, it's just all staying in there. Okay. So, you know, I've had some repairs I've had to do, and it's kind of nice. It feels good that I'm not using my own money for it. I'm just kind of using
the house money
that's paid to me.
What kind of stuff has come up?
Just like, you know, some small things. Like, there was like a doorknob that broke off, and like this old door, like an old exterior door. So I had to have someone come and fix that. You know, there's a garbage disposal that had to get repaired, and this was actually a simple thing. So I probably should have just done it myself, but whatever.
Yeah.
There was like a toilet seat that I had to replace the other day. You know, so that was just like, you know,
so, yeah, like minor,
30 bucks,
minor stuff, you know, for the garbage disposal. You might want to think about just taking that out completely. Like, garbage disposals used to cost me a lot of money, because like, tenants always break them. They don't know how to use them. So I've removed them from all my rentals. So that
I know. And that's probably my plan for the future.
Yeah.
Is just take out, because the issue with this garbage disposal was it was jammed full of food.
Oh, so yeah.
I know they put way too much stuff in it.
Yeah. You might want to, just take that out when this group leaves. And that won't be a problem going forward. Now, before you rented out the property, was there anything special that you had to do?
There's just the basic things. I had just regular maintenance that I'd never done while I was living there. So, I had a shower faucet thing that I needed to get fixed. So I just got a plumber to do that before I moved out. And then the big thing was to have a rental, you have to have a license in my city. And so you had to convert it into from a primary residence to a rental license. And that was pretty expensive. It was $1,100. And
wow.
They have to come and do an inspection. Not like a super in-depth inspection or anything. They're just checking for basic code stuff. But that was a pretty big upfront cost. It's just one time fee you have to pay. And then the yearly rental license is, hundred some bucks. So that's not too bad.
But that's a really good thing for anyone to keep in mind that's looking to do this, is every jurisdiction has different laws. So yeah, in some areas you're going to need a rental license. So definitely check into that. How did you even know that you needed a license?
Yeah. So back when I was doing Airbnb, I basically knew it from that, because before, when I started doing Airbnb, you didn't need any sort of license. And then the city, they're trying to regulate them more, especially when the Super Bowl came into town in 2018. And so they sent out, I don't know how they got all the data, but I guess they got the data from Airbnb or something on who was doing Airbnb. And they sent out letters to every single Airbnb in the city saying, you have to register it. And there were different types of licenses, basically, whether you lived in the house or not. And so knowing that there were licenses for Airbnb, I also knew that there must be licenses for rental properties.
Sure, sure. Wow. Yeah, it's a good thing you caught that. The other thing is insurance. So did you get your insurance switched over from a homeowner's policy to a landlord policy?
Yep. And that was just a simple phone call, nothing crazy or anything for that.
If you want to learn more about Kevin, you can check out his blog. He writes a lot about personal finance and different side hustles he's working on. You can find him at financialpanther.com, or if you want to look that up later on, I've got a link to it on my website. You can find that at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode355. If Kevin inspired you and you're looking to buy your first rental property, or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is our sponsor today. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chailey is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, including her no-doc loan, where she doesn't need you to dig up your tax returns and bank statements and pay stubs. She's just going to look at the deal. She wants to see if the numbers make sense. If they do, she'll give you a 30-year fixed rate loan. The rates are a little bit higher than a traditional loan, but it's still a great deal. If you want more details, or you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey personally, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE. lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. Make sure you follow the show. We put out new interviews every single Tuesday, and if you follow or subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as new episodes come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.